Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. A reduced show this week with Matt Backcock from the non-league paper, our sole guest. After the weather intervened last weekend, 24 clubs still to complete in the FA Vars Round 4 for a place in the fifth round draw drawn this week. We reflect on the FA Cup third round and the end of non-league involvement. Plus, there's more managerial merry-go-round moves and previews of the weekend's non-league paper. Time then to sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway.
To head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. It's time to welcome back once again to the editor at large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Backcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
It's a busy week, Matt. It's a busy week. We're about to head into Fuel Land birthday week, so I'm about to get my baker hands on and make cakes
and
lots of pink banners and that sort of thing. Yeah. My kids growing up, their favourite joke was something about Winnie the Pooh and being a baker or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it's probably not broadcastable. Anyway, we're all about non-league football, and it was certainly an exciting weekend for non-league football. We should start really with the FA Cup. Great showing in the FA Cup third round from our non-league representatives, Tamworth and Dagenham and Redbridge, but sadly, for the first time in a while that I can remember, we've now got no non-league interest left, and the fourth round is going to come, and we'll just watch it from afar.
Yeah, it is the end of the road, as you say, for the non-league. The non-league flag has been lowered down the mast now in the FA Cup, hasn't it? But it's been a great run for lots of clubs throughout the whole competition, and has been given had these sort of great memories that we will kind of talk about for many years. But yeah, it does feel a shame. I was sort of thinking earlier about Maidstone. I couldn't remember actually last year when they beat it, which was the third round or the fourth round, and quite out, you know, and eventually obviously got to the fifth round, and it's, you know, an incredible run and shows how sport we've been over. Over the last few years. And but yeah, you know, but as you say, Tamworth and Dagenham certainly had their moments. When their season finishes, they'll be looking back at some really fond memories on all that they did. Obviously, it didn't quite go for Dagenham the other night at Millwall, losing 3-0 in the end. But you know, they beat AFC Wimbledon in that a game that will be long live in the memory for all those fans that were there with the late goal that won it at Plough Lane. And Tamworth, obviously, were there beating Huddersfield and then beating Birmingham and getting Tottenham come to town. Certainly been eventful and not for lack of talking points, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I always hope is that it doesn't mean that the Tamworth and Dagenham and Redbridge sides are now destroyed because they put in such great performances on TV and everybody now knows about how good their players are.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the issues of FA Cup live TV games and you know, that kind of knock on effect. I think often in football, you know, the way sort of the scouting systems and networks are these days, you know, everyone is kind of throughout the game have got eyes on these players kind of all the time, really. And but it is always, yeah, you know, in these big moments when players kind of can come to the sort of real forefront of the mind for lots of people. And I think the one I always remember is, you know, Jamie Vardy, and when he was at Fleetwood and he kind of ripped Blackpool, I think it was at the time. He sort of really was all over the place, getting on the ball and making things happen. And it was kind of felt when Vardy maybe sort of was announced slightly to the wider world. Obviously, people have been talking about him in non-league for many years and seeing his goal-scoring exploits. But it can be just sometimes that sort of national spotlight that really sort of catapults people on. And I imagine that's why Tamworth are quite keen to get Andy Peake sorted with his full-time deal before that game came along, because you know, we've talked here on regularly what a good job he's been doing at the club ever since he's gone there, and now he's, you know, turned them around totally. And obviously he was doing great stuff at AFC and Russian and Diamonds before that as well. So, you know, a very, very talented manager, and, you know, if he's not under a new, he's still on his part-time contract, and taking Tottenham to extra time, and may have had a few more admirers from, you know, flattering their eyelids at him a little bit. So it's from that point of view, for sure Tamworth will be pleased, and but I'm sure there will be calls going in about their players very soon.
Yeah, and there was obviously lots of discussion about, you know, clubs maximising the income and maximising the potential of these big games. But as you say, both at Tamworth and now this week, Dagenham and Redbridge recognising that the hard work and success that Lewis Young has achieved there since taking on the caretaker mantle as manager at Dagenham and Redbridge, and been awarded a new 2.5-year deal as we're speaking on Thursday.
Yeah, as you say, just announced, isn't it? And you can see that kind of that continuity they've been going for. Thought it was a nice kind of touch from in the build up to the Millwall game, that he kind of, you know, made point of mentioning Ben Strevens, who's obviously been in charge for the second round win at Wimbledon, and has, you know, been kind of leading the club for the last couple of years now. So it was nice that he kind of mentioned him, but, you know, they were obviously quite a few weeks into this interim period, and obviously as you say, Lewis has impressed, and You know, he's had this real reputation, hasn't he, as one of the bright young coaches around. Obviously, had time at Crawley as well, didn't he? And, so they're going with that, and you can see the faith that's there with the 2.5-year deal as well to allow him to putting those more sort of permanent blocks in place to keep pushing forward.
Yeah, it's amazing what a successful FA Cup run can do for everybody involved. We also. We had a few games played in the FA Vars last week. We saw the FA Vars draw on Monday. Fifth round ties pulled out. And an interesting stat from Phil Annetts with his FA Vars fat file hat on. The draw has now set up a set of ties where none of them have ever faced each other before in the competition, which sort of, I think, shows the ever-evolving FA Vars competition. But also, every year we always see another set of new clubs just suddenly come to the fore and strength, don't we? And I guess that's the excitement of the FA Vars.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the appeal for me. I always enjoy about it as well, is that, you know, you really do not know who's kind of going to come through all the, you know, quite a grueling competition really, and lots of rounds, and, you know, never got to this point now, and there's lots of all sorts of travelling and having to, you know, luck of draws and away draws and all that kind of thing. So it's always really interesting as we get down to this sort of stage now. As you say, saw quite a few games we played, and hopefully they all do all the ties do get finished on and played on Saturday, then we can have that real picture of kind of where this sort of competition is getting down to now. And I think this is the point where clubs start thinking, ooh, can we maybe be the ones to get there? You know, I'm talking to Romford last year, and talking to Steve Garner down there, and there was that, you know, you always hope for an FA Vars run, but you can never say that you really will be able to. And yeah, just remember talking to him and sort of the excitement that he was having, talking, you know, in the build up to Wembley, and saying, I'll go to this game every year, walking down Wembley Way, and this year I get to go in my suit and all that. And that's the excitement for everybody, that you know, we're getting to this point now where Wembley, the arch is starting to creep over the horizon, and you know, we had those years with, you know, Newport Pagnell Town obviously got back there a couple of years ago, didn't they, as well. And there's obviously the great Whitley Bay side that dominated for that period, sort of over sort of 15 years ago now. But that's, again, also probably shows the change in the in the National League system, where there's obviously step five promotion back then wasn't mandatory. Now it is, so that kind of keeps things evolving in the VARs, where often a lot of these clubs have such good runs in the VARs, and whether they get to the final or not, are often more often than not at the top of their leagues pushing, and then they kind of go on into step four, and it leaves a fresh wave to kind of come through and try their luck at it. So that's why it's such an interesting, intriguing competition, because it feels kind of almost like that pure football of on the day, who plays best, and they get through.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, there's a fair amount of travelling now in these rounds of the FA VARs. The games, as you say, that were cancelled last week were shifted to this Saturday, so it takes a Saturday out of the league programme. And in years gone by, that's always been a difficult decision, isn't it? Because it puts the clubs behind, already on a cup run, so they're probably already behind some of their other competitors in the league. But I think credit's got to go to I think almost all, if not all, of Step 5 and Step 6 leagues are already ahead of halfway. So doing already well on the fixtures, having got them in early, so that this sort of decision was fairly easy to make.
Yeah, I think you've seen in the last sort of shift, and I know sort of a couple of years ago talking to the FA and how they've kind of said, we're really telling everybody to try and get their games in front loaders as much as they can, because it was obviously causing the knock-on effects at the end of the season with sort of talks of season extensions. And obviously you can never say it's kind of fully there, and the weather hasn't been terrible so far. Obviously had the last few weeks not been ideal, but hopefully it has as you say, leagues have been really rattling those kind of fixtures in early on, and there's kind of pros and cons to that, I guess, in some ways. But hopefully the weather feels like it's much milder this week, not too much weather. Hopefully we can get a good full round of fixtures in this week across the National League system, and that will help, because you never know what end of January, February might bring, and sometimes even March these days with some of the cold weather. We remember our Wembley trip, but that famous COVID final. It's been it's kind of the knock-on effect of having a good VARs run is the fixture pile-up. But as we say so often, you see the teams who do have those great runs in the VARs are able to mix it with their league form as well, and have success on both fronts.
Yeah, you're the marathon runner, but amongst it's like getting the adrenaline.
I don't like talking about it, Tim. But is it? I'm ultra marathon runner now. Very slow one.
it's been a long time in the making. You say about the weather.
It does take a long time. Yeah.
the weather. We lost the live TV game this week to fog. Southend United, Boston United abandoned after, I think, 7 minutes on the clock. They were delayed kicking off. The fog apparently came down very thick and fast in about 15 minutes before kickoff, and eventually the game was abandoned at 8:25. You feel for the officials on that one, don't you? Because Boston have travelled a long way, everybody's ready, and then suddenly it's like someone's turned the lights out, and we've had that a few times as well.
Yeah, fog is it's one of those where it can start creeping in, can't it? And you think, try and ignore it and hope that it's not too bad. But once you can't see that far corner flag, you can't see it. And unfortunately, as you say, Southend travelling all the way up to Boston, and that was sort of a bit of a tricky one. But I think I sort of saw some pictures of them in the warm up, and it was clear as you'd normally expect. And it's obviously dropped in really quickly, and frustrating for everybody all around. But I've seen I think we've probably all been to those games where it is a bit tricky, and it's closing in, and you think, I went to a game a few years ago in the Eastern League where Bury Town, I think, 5-0 up in about the 83rd minute, and the game got abandoned for fog, and that was a tough one to take. Well, I think they got awarded the points in the end, but it's not ideal when you think you've got through it all with the weather and the cold weather and the rain, and then the fog comes along and ruins it as well. But yeah, one for to be rescheduled, and maybe DAZN can show that one instead.
Yeah, well, I do recall a trip to Thurrock once at the old Thurrock ground, and yeah, the game continued. Apparently, I just heard the final whistle at the end. So that was what happened in the olden days. And then trying to get home from there, I think I got the train there as well and walked down the road, but not quite sure I was able to walk down the same road on the way back. But
I've got a memory of hitching as well, which quite sort of setting in the second half once, and it was like, oh. But actually, yeah, it did get finished, and which is always good news. I went to a Vars game. It was a rearranged game in midweek, actually, when they sort of used rearranged the games into midweek as well. Oh, and the rain coming down and running back, it was a ground where I could sort of jump in my car and sort of see the pitch. I ran to my car, the rain was coming down so much I couldn't see anything outside the window. It was like someone pouring a bucket of water constantly over the window. When it settled down, I poked my head out and everybody had gone in and gone home. The game had been abandoned. I didn't realise. I'd been sat there for 10 minutes. Yeah. This is what non-league's all about.
This is what it's all about. Those memories. And talking of memories, I'm having to double back up my phone contacts now, because the managerial merry-go-round, it was busy even before last weekend, after we spoke to John Couch at the end of Thursday. Old friend of the show, Pat McManus, departed Shaftesbury for football and personal reasons, and coming back into the role, Jim Milligan, after a short spell at Bemerton Heath Harlequins in the same division. And we also then saw Steve Lovell depart Herne Bay. I think they're 17th in the Isthmian South East Division 1 at the time. Someone with a great pedigree, but sometimes you just can't get it to click.
I think we'll kind of focus on the managers that are going so well, and you forget that some can easily forget sometimes that the others, you know, are putting in a lot of hard work as well themselves, and kind of not getting those results. And sort of unfortunate that it seems to be the way these days, that, you know, there's some quite high turnover of managers. I was talking to Rob Sinclair at Rail Bedford earlier, and obviously they're flying high in the Southern Division 1 Central, and had a big result against Birkham said on Tuesday night. And we kind of always get onto the, we've managed to kind of, you know, I'm not really sure why you all kind of do it sometimes, and why they put themselves through it. And there's this real bug, and I think even there's sort of, when they have difficult experiences, these guys all want to get back in straight away afterwards as well, anyway, and kind of put themselves through it all again, because, you know, the highs are so good when they do come along.
And sometimes it just gets all, well, like, it just gets too difficult, doesn't it? We also saw over the weekend, saw Pav Singh walk away from the very troubled Farsley Celtic, and even I can't get my head around the scenario there. So I'll mention it, but I'm still looking into it, shall we say that. In regards to the merry-go-round, this week we saw Ben Bukowski and Keegan Cole depart Harrow Borough after a fairly decent start there this season. And then a couple of days later, we saw them announce as the new team at Hendon, who themselves have been on something of a spiral down since Lee Allison's departure before Christmas. So it'll be interesting to see if they can have the necessary positive impacts at Hendon, which is a short drive, shall we say, rather than a short kick away. But certainly proven themselves in their previous positions, and it looked like a good young combination coming through the non-league ranks.
Yeah, and obviously an opportunity for them to step up as well, which is, you know, in level, which is obviously everyone's trying to do, and you don't always get those chances, and it can be tough to turn down. And, you know, following in big footsteps for sure of, say, Lee Allinson and what he achieved there, and you know, with the resources that he had, and their famous FA Trophy run last year, where they went up and beat Oldham, and it's, you know, incredible. And Lee kind of got recognised for his work there, and he's gone into Hemel and trying to have an impact there now. And it's kind of the circle of life, isn't it, of non-league, that it all rotates around. And Harrow will now be looking for someone to come in there, and that will be an opportunity for them to carry on their work.
Yeah, we reported in recent weeks the various ins and outs at Withenshaw, and this week they're back on the ride, shall we say. Danny Moss resigned at Northwest Counties League South Barnton, their step six side after a fairly slow season, really, there. But then he's reappeared as the new boss at Withenshaw at step five. But, of course, well known to the club because he was assistant there to Shane Goldrick during their recent glory days. So an interesting appointment and, you know, hoping that that will bring back the glory days to Withenshaw again.
Yeah, definitely. It's sort of, say, been a bit of a funny season of the sort of the success of last year, haven't they? And promotion, and probably need a bit of that sort of stability now is what they'll be looking forward to build on that, and you know, kind of get that enjoyment back again.
Yeah, and elsewhere we saw longer term that Robbie Simpson's going to step down at Chelmsford City at the end of the season. Lots going on, obviously, at Chelmsford at the moment. It'll be interesting to see how they get on at the end of the season and whether there's any change in that decision.
Yeah, obviously, the club announced there that they're sort of going to explore the moving to a full-time model, which really is... you know, the way at the moment, you know, look at that through that National League South, and you're kind of thinking that's the way we've got to compete now. You've got Maidstone in there, Torquay, Borehamwood, Eastbourne, full time. You know, more and more clubs at step two, even step three, moving to hybrid training. So, yeah, they're kind of exploring that. And I think it's interesting in Robbie's statement, you know, obviously staying on to the end of the season, he's had, yeah, great success. It came so close. You know, it was such a brilliant season last year, and lost to Braintree in the playoffs semi final, kind of a bit of a crazy game that went. You know, they were down and out, dead and buried, 2-0 down, and somehow got it back to 2-2. Ruined my match report. I had to just delete the whole thing and went to extra time and had a fell on the wrong side of the result there, of the goal there in extra time. So I thought it was interesting in his statement. He's kind of sort of talked about you know. When I retired from football, we promised sort of family time, and that's what he wants to give. And, you know, that highlights the sort of sacrifice that, you know, obviously he put in for his whole professional career. Had a really good playing career, didn't he? And, you know, I think we can kind of easily see on the outside, oh, it's all great, you're playing football, and I'm sure in the large part it is, but, you know, there's a lot of time and hours and effort that goes into that, and time away from home and Christmases and all that kind of stuff, staying in hotels overnights, and then you go into management, and it's kind of just full on as well, even if it's non-league. So interesting there, perhaps, as you say, a bit of time they get through, maybe they'll rethink, but that'll be, if they are moving to full time, that'll be a job that a lot of people will be very interested in, because they'll be able to see that. You can see the potential there for the club, and you know, getting into step one will be the goal long term, I guess.
Yeah, and as someone that suddenly discovered that Saturdays exist for other things, I can recommend it to him. You can still stay in contact with your football and still have Saturdays off. But I think it's an example, isn't it, of the non-league changing non-league game, and also this week we saw Barnet unveiling new designs for its stadium. Planning application going to go into Barnet Council later this year. Currently, they play outside that borough, the Hive being in the London Borough of Harrow, so they've always wanted to get back into Barnet. Updated drawings and designs for a new 7,000 capacity stadium, modifying sort of the location in the field, so that the aim is to, yeah, better suit the school and the local community. But I think it just shows that the clubs are businesses beyond just football, and businesses 24/7, 365 days a year.
Yeah, and you've got to be now as well. And, you know, talking about the clubs there who go, you know, full time, kind of like trying to compete with each other. I think, you know, on a, you know, even a wider level, clubs are running themselves that way right through the levels. You know, step five, step four. You know, these are not even step six. You know, these are not, as you say, twice a week operations anymore. Turn up on a Tuesday or a Saturday, open the gates, and away you go. It's all encompassing, and getting that into the community and the work that can kind of be done there, and the people that are coming into contact with your football club throughout the week, often, you know, much more than on the Saturday, and that's vital for the sustainability of clubs. And there's been obviously been a big drive to help clubs with that, and to make clubs think that way, think more sustainably, think more like businesses. And it's hard, isn't it, football to be like that, because sometimes to think like a business, because it's such an emotional game. And that's, you know, where so many brilliant businessmen and women go into the boardroom and make all sorts of crazy decisions they wouldn't make in the daily business. But, you know, hopefully that's kind of becoming a bit of a thing of the past, and you say people can be sustainable and, you know, thinking like that to kind of keep up with each other and keep moving forward and progressing. And hopefully Barnet have got a nice big car park at their new ground as well, because that's my thing. Where am I going to park when I go to these games?
Where are you going to park? Do they only take card?
Card? Do I have to get a token like at Barnet? Is it £8 to park? And good luck to them. Good luck to them. I pay it every time.
Yeah, yeah. Someone needs to develop a sort of one of these electric bikes in a case that's got a laptop attached to it, and it just all folds down. And I'm not sure. You've got time in your life to fit in riding an electric bike this weekend.
No.
Hopefully, weather will not deter us, and we'll get these FA Vars games and plenty of league action as well. Anything we can look forward to reading about in Sunday's non-league paper?
Yes, hopefully, hopefully plenty of games. I'm sure there will be. Also caught up with Mark White, who's going to be, it's not only his, but also Dorking Wanderers' 1,000th game. So as you can imagine, there's some quite entertaining views from Mark, and, you know, looking back at his time and how far the club have come in such a sort of relatively short space of time, really, and kind of what story that is. Same about John Couch, who was at Tamworth on Sunday for the big game. He managed to squeeze himself into the background of Ange's Postecoglou's interview and give himself on Sky Sports.
I couldn't tell who was being interviewed.
I'm surprised he didn't send the picture to you. No one saw it other than he sort of sent the picture around to everybody. I'm not surprised you've seen it. So we've actually, he proved he was there, and he's also proved he's there by doing a bit of work on that as well and sort of knocking up some words on that. So you've reaction to Dagenham. Like I said earlier, I've spoken to Rob Sinclair at Real Bedford, Ben Greenhow at Margate, who's, you know, balancing player management life now. There in the Isthmian southeast and doing a very good job, and we were kind of joking that it's all right being a player manager when you're still able to stick the ball into the top corner from outside the box, which he's been doing as well a bit this season. So plenty in there, and as you say, hopefully lots of football, including the Vars, back to National League action, and lots to talk about on Saturday evening, ready for you on Sunday morning.
Good stuff. Well, Matt Backhawk, always a pleasure. Thanks for your help. Have a great weekend. Speak to you again soon.
Brilliant, Tim. Thanks, mate. Take care.
And there we have it. That's it for this week. Apologies for the shorter show this week. Hopefully back to full capacity next. Before I let you go, I will mention the death of Tony Book, aged 90. Lots of coverage detailing his many roles at Man City, including as captain, but he was a big non-league man, made over 400 appearances for Bath City and Frome Town before that, before he then followed boss Malcolm Allison to Canada, then Plymouth, and then Manchester City. He was a man who always had non-league at heart and should always have a place in non-league's heart too. Don't forget, you can get involved on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel, FUELL. And as ever, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, Geo7, Listen Notes, Overcast, Player FM, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. So stay safe, enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.